Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. Well, for the third Monday in a row, we have positive news on the search for a vaccine for COVID-19. Scientists at Oxford University are reporting at least 70% efficacy from phase three trials on a vaccine they're developing in collaboration with pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca. The Oxford team say that depending on how the vaccine is administered, it can be up to 90% effective and could also act against silent or asymptomatic infection. We've been talking to Professor Adrian Hill, a graduate of Trinity College Dublin, who's leading the Oxford trial. He began by telling me that their vaccine is based on well-established and already licensed medical technology.
Yeah, there are licensed vaccines with this technology. It's an adenoviral vector, it's called. And yes, indeed, you distribute it in a fridge, 2 to 8 degrees centigrade. The RNA vaccines, the other two that have been shown to work, need freezers, which is complicated enough in Ireland, but really complicated in some parts of the developing world. So that's important. But the other reason using a less novel technology is helpful in an outbreak is that you literally can't have the time depth of safety data on something that's only been in the clinic for months, whereas adenoviral vectors were in their first trial in 1991, extensively used over the last 10 or 15 years. So tens of thousands of people have been safely vaccinated and followed up for years. So that's reassuring.
Because that obviously is a concern of people, because this research and these vaccines have been brought to this stage so quickly. I mean, you're telescoping into maybe a matter of months research that can take years. Because it's happening so quickly, people, I suppose, understandably have concerns about just how safe these are.
You're right. The average vaccine takes about 10 years to develop. We've been going for 10 months. But if you break down, you know, why you're able to do it faster, it's reassuring. Firstly, we don't have to wait for grant applications to be written, as we do in universities all the time, and to be awarded or maybe not awarded. The regulators respond, putting us at the top of the pile. Everything is prioritized at the manufacturing facilities we go in right away. And that's a large part of the reduction in time. And frankly, manufacturers have been manufacturing at risk since the summer, and hundreds of millions of doses are now available, waiting to be used once we can get regulatory approval for this vaccine. So a lot of things are kaleidoscoped in, as is appropriate in this sort of emergency.
And what kind of, at this stage, of numbers of doses would you be hoping to be able to put out there over the next number of months?
Yeah, so it depends where. You know, we've always started from a requirement that this be a global vaccine. We have 10 different countries manufacturing, larger numbers of facilities doing that. And the contracts that our industrial partner, AstraZeneca, who are now the commercial developer of this vaccine, have taken on for the next 12 months, amount to around about 3 billion doses. Now, that's a record if it happens. No vaccine has been given to more than 500 million people in a year ever. So we're trying to do something that is unprecedented, but it may well be possible, not because we've got one great manufacturing facility, but we have, you know, those in 10 countries. And one of those facilities, actually in India, has already made over 100 million doses and going on 200 million by the end of the year. So we're reasonably well placed. But, you know, first things first, we need to get regulatory approval for the vaccine before we can start distributing it.
And what's the time scale on that?
Well, we're going for something called emergency use authorization, which will be much shorter than the standard 6 to 12 months. We're guessing it might be a couple of weeks, partly because with agencies like the European Medicines Agency and the MHRA in London, we've been sending in clinical trial data as we have it before we've got the entire package together. And the regulators have been very supportive of that. So with a fair wind, approval hopefully before Christmas and first vaccinations next month is the target.
So three vaccines reporting very encouraging results. Are we now at the end of the beginning of all of this? Do we see the light beginning to appear? Do you think at the end of the tunnel for all of us?
I do. Yes, but there's a big but, and that is, you've got to be aware that it doesn't start now. Nobody will be vaccinated in November, very few in December, more in January. Everybody is going to carry on having to take the usual precautions that we've hopefully now become used to prevent themselves getting infected. So, you know, maybe by May, June time, we'll be back to normal, but it isn't like that for the next couple of months. And the operational aspects of, you know, just getting millions of people vaccinated very quickly is a considerable challenge.
Just a final question. At this stage, can you say how frequently people would need the vaccine in order to maintain immunity?
I cannot say that for definite because we have not followed people for more than 6 or 7 months, so we don't know what happens at a year. On the other hand, lots of vaccines of this type have been followed, including one for another coronavirus, MERS, for a year, and the immune response really hadn't dropped much over the first 12 months. So I think the fears people have because of the short-term immunity with natural infection don't translate to vaccines. Every vaccine is different.
And that was Professor Adrian Hill speaking to us from Oxford University.